satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of thing the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Tommaso Bonvissuto, short for Bon Bon.
Yes, sir. I think it's the other way around.
Oh, yeah. It's the other way around. right. Thank you.
That's all
anyway,
right.
Anyway, we're here on an open show, right, Tomas?
Yes, sir. We're looking forward to callers calling in.
Yeah, because when we're on an open show, we don't have a direction of the show. Like
right.
Last week, we were talking about real estate
mm-hmm.
as an investment for preparing for retirement.
Right.
And it was a good show, and I
yeah.
think Kai Anderson did a good job in her book, and hopefully people out there who are interested in rental real estate as to why, and I think she did a good job of laying that out. But tonight, we're just doing an open show.
That's
so our
right.
listeners can call in and say, hey, I want to talk about Social Security. Hey, I want to talk about estate planning. Hey, I want to talk about tax planning. I want to talk about my 401k. I want to talk about IRAs. I have an elder care
mm-hmm.
issue with a parent or whatever the case may be. We're here to help you. That's what the idea of the show is about, is to demonstrate what a true professional financial advisor should do for you as a comprehensive advisor, just like your doctor,
right.
going head to toe with your physical health. A personal financial advisor is somebody that should be able to help you with any issue in your comprehensive personal advice or personal finances. And no matter what it is, if it's estate planning or income taxes, they should have a comprehensive view of that and be able to guide you and help you, just like your general practitioner in medicine takes you and helps you work with your cardiologist or, you know, anybody else, any
mm-hmm.
other specialist that
right.
you have to go to. And the general practitioner is looking at the big picture while these specialists come in and deal with specific items and issues and help you and guide you in your medical health. That's what a comprehensive advisor should do. And unfortunately, I'd say about 90% of our listeners who think they have a financial advisor, in my
right.
opinion, probably don't, because their advisor is not a comprehensive advisor, does not have the tax knowledge, the estate knowledge, the insurance knowledge, the overall comprehensive
right.
knowledge that is necessary to be considered a true comprehensive advisor. And in addition, we believe they should always be independent, free of brokers, free of insurance companies, free of banks. They should be fee only. They should never take commissions or referral fees. They should be experienced.
Yeah.
Not like when I was
right.
first, and you were
yeah.
sort of in that too.
Yeah.
They kind of took you out of college and they threw you out on the street and said, you know, Tom, you're a financial advisor today.
Go do it.
Yesterday you were a college student. Today you're a financial advisor. Yesterday you were selling liquor. Today you're a personal financial advisor. You know, I mean, it's just amazing what
right.
the industry does, but the public has no idea
mm-hmm.
of what is going on out there. And they, you know, they think that they have somebody they can trust. And I heard a great line one day, Tom, and they said, trust can be faked. Competency cannot be faked.
Wow.
And that's so true of the of what we experience. And that's why our motto is to people is just do a physical, because when
right.
you do a financial physical
yep.
with the financial consulate, you will experience comprehensive advice and you will say that is very different than what I've been experiencing.
Right, right.
So,
and people don't know what it is until they've experienced it.
And, yeah,
right.
and that's the beauty of the financial physical. We do not charge a client for the physical until they've gone through the entire physical. They get
right.
to go home, look at the final product before they have to commit to paying for the financial physical. That's our guarantee, and that's the kind of boldness that our firm has
yep.
as to say, we are comprehensive advisors, and we will actually do a whole comprehensive analysis for you so that you can experience the difference of what the consulate's all about. But
that's right.
Tonight is just an open show.
You better give
where
them
we're
going
to answer phone calls. I'll get to it sooner or later, Tom. You got to give me a minute. I'm on a roll here. So we're on, you know, tonight to just answer calls. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, be it on anything in your personal finances. And, I, you know, sometimes I don't have to give the number because
they
a lot of people
speed dial, you know.
You know,
that's right.
who listen to CBM and like to call in. They already know the number inside out and backwards. But, you know, the lines are open, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question on something to do with your personal finances. And at the end of the month, we're going to have a seminar.
That's right.
And so I do a corporate seminar for Johns Hopkins University. I do it for the state school systems in many counties, not all counties, but a lot of them.
Yeah.
I've done it at McCormick & Company. I've done it for Northrop Grumman in the past. And we're going to actually do that as an open seminar for a lot of our clients are coming.
Sure.
But anybody else that wants to come, we're going to be doing that. And it's how do you prepare for retirement?
Right.
And what are the things you need to be asking and thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be, you know, having that seminar in Hunt Valley on November 28th.
That's right.
And if somebody wants to get into that, Tom, how do they do it?
They can call the office at 410-823-SAVE. 410-823-7283. They can email us at info@financialconsulate.com.
Consulate like an embassy.
Like an embassy, exactly.
Financial consulate. info@financialconsulatelikeanembassy.com.
Yeah. And say they want to come, and we'd love to have them. You know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great event. And,
they can also
people
follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook and get that information about that seminar.
They can do all that, and you know, and people get to hear you know the, what you do on the radio here and what we talk about and answering questions. You know, you've developed over the years, the, you know, I think it's 35 or close to 35 questions that people ask over and over again, and we're going to be able to take them through several of those questions and really answering them, find out what people want, kind of like an open show, but just in a live format and interact and be able to help people as they're preparing for that. What do I do? How do I prepare for retirement? Because there's a lot of people trying to figure that out right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to call in and ask your question tonight, 410-922-6680, nobody's calling in, so there must be no question. So we ought to just go home and enjoy the beautiful evening tonight, 410-922-6680. We got to take our first pause, but if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. And right now, we got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. And this is Drew Tignanelli back with Money, Riches, and Wealth. I know this song. I know this. But I don't know the singer, nor do I know the name of the song. But I know this song. Yeah, yeah. So what is it? 2 hours of pushing broom buys it. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
King of the Road.
Roger Miller, King of the Road. That's what I was going to say. But I didn't. So I'm going to Steve in Pikesville. Steve, how can we help you?
Good evening, Drew. How are you?
We're doing great, sir.
I've got a question about an inherited non-spousal traditional IRA.
Yep.
Unfortunately, my wife's dad passed away.
Okay.
And her brother was in charge of the estate, and an IRA was left to her.
Was she the beneficiary of the IRA, or was it through the will?
She's a beneficiary of the IRA.
Okay, good.
And the IRA right now, it's in her deceased father's and her name, and it's held in a place called Trade Station.
I have never heard of them, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Right,
I've been in this business a long time, but I've never heard of Trade Station. Okay.
And we were, and there was like, her brother gave us a printout of like four different options you could take.
Well, let me ask you this question, Steve. When did your wife's father pass away?
I believe it was in 2000 and sometime in 2016.
2016. So she has until the end of 17 to take out her first required minimum distribution. And how old is she this year?
She's in her early 50s.
So let's say she's 50. Let's just use that number. The single life expectancy table for her would be approximately 35. And so whatever the value of that account was at the end of December 2016, you divide it by that life expectancy factor, which in our illustration is going to be 35. So let's say it was 350,000 and she's 35-year life expectancy according to single life expectancy tables. She has to take out 10,000 by the end of this year.
Oh, okay. One question we have. Can that be taken out of that account and rolled elsewhere into another traditional or possibly a Roth?
Well, the answer is no, not as a direct rollover or anything of that sort. But what you can do is if your income as a husband and wife is under $187,000.
Which it is.
Okay, then you two can put $6,500 each into a Roth IRA as a contribution, and therefore the required minimum distribution will give you the cash to do that with, but you'll still have to pay income taxes on the money distributed from that inherited IRA.
Okay.
And I would strongly encourage you to do a Roth IRA every single year, Steve, that your income is below that 187, and next year I believe it goes to 189.
And it's over 13.
I do have a Roth IRA currently.
Yeah, well, you should continue to put it $6,500 each in there.
Yeah, the income.
Okay, what would I do with the remainder of it?
You just have to put it into a regular after-tax investment account and just continue to invest it. There's nothing more you can do. You got to pay the taxes on it. A good portion of it's going to go to taxes. I mean, at least 20, 25% between state and federal is going to go to taxes unless you're in a really low income bracket.
My income is in low 70s, our total income. She's a stay-at-home wife.
Okay, but how much money is in the IRA? Approximately 100, approximately 50?
Close to 24, 25,000.
Yeah, so you're only going to have to distribute about $1,000 or $1,500 every year, so that's not going to impact you hardly at all.
Okay, how would I go about getting the forms in order to close that out or transfer that?
You mean the required minimum distribution or the IRA as a whole?
The IRA as a whole to totally close it out.
Well, you don't ever want to totally close it out. You want to keep it as an inherited IRA and only take the distribution every year that you're required to take out.
You can
move it to another brokerage firm, but you want to keep it as an inherited IRA. So let's say you called up Vanguard and you said, Vanguard, I have this thing at Trading, whatever it's called. Trading Station, and I want it to be with Vanguard. Do you do anything? Where's your Roth IRA, Steve?
Currently it's with Wells Fargo.
So you call up Wells Fargo and you say, hey, my wife inherited this thing at Trading Station. We want you to bring it over to Wells Fargo as an inherited IRA and continue to do her required minimum distributions for her.
Okay, and they could help me with that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Definitely do not take that money out of that inherited IRA.
Don't close it.
If you take that money out of there without transferring it properly, you're going to pay taxes on that full $24,000, and there's no turning that clock back, period.
Right.
All right? Do it. Make sure you get good help on that, okay?
Okay, well, a while back, I stopped in and saw you, and I was a little premature on thinking about retiring, but I'm getting a lot closer. And
well, if you wanted to come talk to our team, you feel free. We'll be more than willing to make sure it works for you, okay?
Okay, Drew. Thank
All right,
you
Steve.
Much.
You
I
take
really
care.
It.
Thank
Have
you.
Have a great evening.
Me too.
We're going to Jennifer in Elkridge. Are you there, Jennifer?
I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead. Ask your question.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I have a very small pension from two companies that I worked for in the past, only for about 5 years each.
Okay.
And the pension, when I'm 65, will be about $500 a month.
Okay.
Not a lot, but it's something. Well, some letters in the mail with the option for a cash buyout.
Yeah, it's very common now.
Right. So I've gotten this 2 years in a row, and I'm just trying to decide whether it's something I should seriously consider.
In general, how much are they offering you? $70,000, $50,000, $100,000?
Well, I think it's only for the two, somewhere around like $40,000.
Hmm. But yet when you turn 60, how old are you right now, Jennifer?
50.
Okay. So you'd have to do a present value calculation on that. You know, look at the lump sum they're offering you today and assume, okay, that money grows at 4 or 5% and to age 65, how much would it grow to compared to the $500 a month they're offering you at age 65? That's the calculation that would have to be done. But another way to look at that too, Jennifer, an easier way to do it, is to think, is that $500 a month going to be necessary for my overall retirement, or do I have other things that I'm very confident will secure my retirement? If I do, I may just make the decision to take the $40,000 and leave these guys, you know, forget these guys from this day forward. But if I don't, then I want to be very wise about how I execute that $40,000 versus $500 a month. Am I making myself sort of clear?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the process that has to be done. I wish there was a way I could just say, Jennifer, do this, you know? And it's just not that simple. You really have to do a present value calculation. You have to look at the bigger picture, see what other things you have, and make sure that you're not going to, you know, because a lot of these offers are trying to get people like yourself out of the system without offering you a lot of money, and they legally can do it. It's perfectly legal what they're doing, but what they're doing also is somewhat detrimental to the people that they're offering it to. And you got to be very
right.
careful that you're making the right decision and doing your analysis right.
Do you have any thoughts on whether I should put it into a self-directed IRA?
If you take that $40,000, you absolutely want it to go into an IRA or into the 401k that where you currently work. Do you work somewhere?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have a 401k there?
Yes.
Okay. So you could take that $40,000 from that company, and you could tell them, direct them to roll it over into your 401k with your current company as opposed to a self-directed IRA, unless you're confident your self-directed IRA is a better option than your current 401k.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Jennifer. You take care.
All right.
Good question. You know, we're getting a lot of that.
Mm-hmm,
we're
mm-hmm.
doing that analysis,
yep.
It looks like, about once a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at Chris eyeing me down in there, you know? I got to ask Charlie and what's that, Tom? Charlie and Tom, you're going to have to hold on until after the 6:30, but hopefully you will. And if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. But Chris is looking at me with the evil eye, and if I don't go to traffic right now, I will get a raft of something, and I'll get a bad song when I come back. Anyway, we're going to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Do you need help organizing your financial life? You thought about what retirement looks like when you go beyond just the numbers? The financial physical is the first step in working together to organize your personal finances and your goals. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent, fee-only firm. Call today to schedule your financial physical and experience the difference. Learn at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com or 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
This is another one I know, Tom.
Yeah.
No, I do. I know this. Again, I don't know the artist or the name of the song.
But you know it.
But I know it. Right? This is a very logical song. This is one that you know. Real simple. It's from my era, like the 1970s, right? What is it? There you go. I knew it was.
Yeah.
Give me Shelter, the Rolling Stones. Yeah. I even know the lead singer in the Rolling Stones. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm not going to tell you in case I get it wrong. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, Charlie's been waiting so patiently. Charlie, are you still there?
I'm here, buddy.
Go ahead. Ask your question.
You know, one question you should ask Jennifer is, how sound is their companies promising this money?
Yeah, that you're, you know, that's
if
a good
on shaky grounds. It doesn't matter what they're going to promise you. I take the money and run.
Well, that's true. But remember, she does have the PBGC, the
right.
Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is guaranteeing the money. And it sounds like it's a small enough sum. It would be 100% insured with PBGC. But I hear what you're saying. That's a good question. But go ahead, Charlie.
My question has to do with required minimum distribution. Have you guys seen any studies that says during the year that you got to take it out, does it matter when you take it out?
Well, yeah, there are different, you know, you've got a whole bunch of people that say you should never take it out until the end of the year, et cetera, et cetera. Now, one thing that we always do, Charlie, is for the most part, most of our clients, we take out their RMD in January if they're over 80 years of age. And the reason we do that is because typically, and this is where we have to determine when we're going to do this or not, if the parents are in lower tax brackets than the children, if the parent dies during the course of that year, the required minimum distribution has to be distributed to the beneficiaries to pay taxes on instead of the parent. And so think about it. A parent dies in May, and they had a required minimum distribution of, let's just say, $20,000. To a parent's income tax return, that's going to be almost a zero tax because they only had income for 5 months. If, on the other hand, they didn't take that RMD, it's now distributed to the children, and they have to pay on whatever income they made for the whole entire year. So that's one philosophy we use, but there's many others for...
Here's my thinking of it.
Go ahead.
You might need a pencil and paper to follow. Let's make it real simple.
Go ahead.
All my money is in one mutual fund.
Okay.
All my IRA money.
Okay.
Let's say that it's good. It requires me to take out $4,000 a year.
Okay.
To just... average. I know it changes every year. All right. My thinking is, some people would say, take it out when the market's doing really good and the net asset value of that fund is high.
Okay.
If you do that, that means you're taking less shares out of the tax sheltered thing and putting it somewhere else.
Okay.
However, if you wait till, and you and I both know, most people know that the market goes up and down.
Sure.
Let's say at one point you could take it out, but you would have to take $10 a share, so many shares out to make the 4,000. But if you wait till the market drops in a year, let's say to $9 or $8 a share, you have to take more shares out because you have to take the same amount of money.
Yeah, so...
And my math says that I will be out of the fund sooner if I do that every year because I'm taking a higher number of shares out, depleting the fund of all its money sooner than if I wait every year and take it at a high.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, if you wait until the end of the year, you got to hope the stock market's higher or your investments are higher. Your
mm-hmm.
investments
this
made
is a
money.
A very theoretical situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If for any reason, though, the market goes down during the course of the year, like it did in 2008 or 2009, then you would have been better off taking your money out at the beginning of the year instead of the end of the year. So there are different...
Honestly, I don't understand that because...
Well, because, Charlie, your required minimum distribution is based on the value of the account on the year before. So if the market goes down during the year, you're liquidating a higher sum of money at a lower value rate at the end of the year. So it's only when the market goes down, that's when you want to avoid taking your RMD. And that's one of the reasons why in 2008, when the market took such a dump, they didn't require people to continue to take money out of their IRAs for, I think it was, what, 1 year?
Yeah, there was a delay.
It was 1 year, I think 2009, they gave them that right not to take it out because their accounts had dropped so much during that last two-year period
of time.
But
if all of my money in 2000 and whatever year, 8 or 9, that it had dropped 50%.
Yep.
If I decided that year, the market's down, I'm going to liquidate everything, and simply move it over to an identically registered taxable mutual fund. Same name, same everything. It's not in an IRA anymore. I would have taken all the money out.
Charlie. Yeah. Your strategy is right, but you did it wrong. Your strategy is right when the account was down in 2008 or 2009. If you had the right to convert it to a Roth IRA, that would have been a slam dunk decision on your part to do that if you had the money to pay the taxes on it, because now you're taking your money at a 50% decline, moving it to a Roth, and when it starts to recover, it's recovering tax-free from that point forward.
Right.
That would have been a slam dunk decision, but going to a taxable account, I'm not necessarily sure that the taxable versus tax-deferred would have worked for you as well.
Well, at this point, I'll be 70 and a half in July 1st.
Okay.
So I don't want to have to take two payments, two withdrawals in 2018. So I'm going to take one this, 2019. I'm going to take one this sometime this coming year, this next calendar year. Now, my understanding is that I got to take the money out. I simply can't move it out of that into a Roth. I don't work.
Correct. You can't, not for the required minimum.
I mean,
well,
the government wants its money.
That's yeah, but
right.
You can move anything over and above the required. So let's say you have an IRA worth $50,000 and your required minimum is $2,000.
Right.
So that's $48,000. You can always move the $48,000 over to a Roth anytime you want.
Oh,
period.
Right. I know that. But the money you got to take out.
You cannot move to a Roth.
Shelter that anymore.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct, you know, and so forth. Well, anyway, I hear what you're saying.
All right.
I've got to run.
Thank you.
But it's a good question and a good analysis. I liked what he was thinking.
Yeah.
You know, you ever get a big market decline again, you should be looking at the concept of a Roth conversion. Let's go to Maggie in Woodlawn. Maggie, how can we help you?
I wanted to ask something about an IRA.
Go ahead.
I have a friend that left me an IRA. He passed away in August of 2014.
Okay.
And I thought I read something that I didn't have to claim that right away, that I could wait and reclaim it in, like, 2017.
Okay, so, no. This is a friend, right? This is not somebody you were married to.
Right.
Okay. So, approximately how much did you inherit? $5,000, $50,000?
$10,000.
$10,000, okay. So here's the way the rules work, Maggie. You inherited $10,000, and in the year 2015, how old would you have been?
62.
So in 2015, you were 62. You would have gone to the life expectancy tables for a 62-year-old, according to the IRS. It would have given you a number like 23. So you would have had to take out about 4%. You know, a little less, but about 4% of the $10,000, or you would have had to take out $400 taxable. You could have left the rest in. And every year, you'd have to go back and calculate again. So it would be 122nd in 2016, 121st in 2017. So that's about 5% in 2017. If the account was still worth $10,000 this year, you have to take out $500. But you would keep doing that until all of a sudden you turned about 85 years of age and you would have to take out the last dollar from the account. That's in general how the rules work for you. Whether you've been doing it or not, that's another question.
Did the institution change the account name to yours or anything like that?
I rolled it over, and it says, IRA for a deceased person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what I call it, an inherited IRA.
Yep.
And every year, you're supposed to be taking a little bit out, and according to my calculations, it should be about $400 to $600 per year beginning the year 2015.
Do I have to claim it all after a certain amount of time?
If you were my client and you came in and said, gee, I got this and I didn't do this, what do I do now? I would go back and recalculate what you should have taken out in 15, 16, and 17, which my guess is going to be about $1,500, and I would just take one distribution this year for $1,500 and then make sure that somebody's computing accurately your required minimum distribution starting 18 and on, and just keep going forward and forget about the 2 years that you didn't take it. That's what I would do. And when you take the $1,500 out, you can have $200 or $300 or $400 or $500 of taxes withheld just in case you would owe taxes on it. But no, it's not tax-free, I can assure you, unless there's some unique, it's not a Roth IRA, is it? It's just a traditional IRA.
Yeah, it's a traditional IRA. But I know it wasn't tax-free, but I thought I read something that
no.
I had three
no.
different options.
No. No. If you find that article, let me know, because I'd like to know about it, too.
Yeah,
all right?
Okay.
All right, Maggie. I got to run.
Okay.
Thank you. I got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. See? There you go. The Circle Red Rubber Ball. How's that? I'm a music master. The Circle. God, tell me who wrote it. Simon and Garfunkel wrote Red Rubber Ball? Oh, Paul Simon wrote Red Rubber Ball, not Simon and Garfunkel. Garfunkel couldn't write anything if he wanted to, right? That was what you're trying to tell me. All right, there you go. I got it. We're an open show. We only got about 10 minutes left. We're headed into the final quarter, and we've got Jeremy and Arnold. Jeremy, how can we help you?
Hey, absolutely love your show, and hard to describe what I needed in 1 to 2 words, but I'll kind of get to the point since you're short on time.
Go ahead.
To keeping numbers whole and round, I'll just throw out estimates, but let's just say an individual has a house with approximately $150,000 left on it.
Okay, that's a mortgage.
Yep. And
okay.
And he has disposable income to either put just in a mutual fund after, you know, Roth IRA and 401ks and everything is maxed out. He still has an additional $5,000 or $6,000 a month just to put into a mutual fund. We'll say $5,000. Keep things simple. If he's earning an outstanding rate like this year with the markets going crazy. Keeping things simple, if he's earning a 10% rate on that $5,000 that he's putting in there every month.
Right.
Or would it be better to turn around and just focus on paying down that $150,000 mortgage so it's zero? And I say that with an end in sight by paying it off within 16 to 18 months with the extra $5,000 a month plus his original payment of...
So, you know, I understand your question. It's one we deal with a lot with our clients, and there's no simple, easy answer to that, okay? So, you know, it's all opportunity cost of money. And you're saying if you're confident that you're going to be getting 5, 6, 7+% a year on average in your mutual funds and you're willing to gamble on that to some degree, I don't use the word gamble in the sense that you would think of gambling, but if you're willing to invest on the concept that you're going to outperform the cost of that mortgage, then I would say keep going into other investments and keep accumulating that liquid tax and keep that mortgage outstanding, assuming that that mortgage is a long-term, low-interest rate mortgage. And I'm assuming it is.
It's short-term, low interest.
All right. Well, that's okay. Then, you know, but still, since it's short-term, it's even more important that you just keep it out there anyway. Because if it's short-term low interest, it's probably down in the 2.5% range.
Close to three.
So, but still, if you think you're going to outperform that, Jeremy, I just keep accumulating the liquid cash. You're probably paying that mortgage off fast enough. I would just keep accumulating cash, and I would look for other maybe real estate investments to make. If you like real estate. Or if you prefer...
Estate. It's a bane of my existence.
I'm with you. So I prefer liquid stock investing, mutual funds, and other types of unique investments that are liquid. But there are people who like real estate, and if you do, then. But if you don't, then just keep accumulating it the way you're doing. But what you said important at the very beginning, mm-hmm, Jeremy, was mm-hmm. I've already maxed out all my 401k. I've already maxed out all my Roth IRAs or any other opportunity like health savings accounts and so forth. And it's only after you've done those things that we then come to this next analysis, do I pay my mortgage off or not? Your situation, hearing how young you sound, I would tend to favor liquidity over paying the mortgage off right now, but I'd go get a home equity credit line on your house, so if you ever needed that money, it would be available to you immediately.
Why would I do that?
We tell all of our clients, Jeremy, to get a home equity credit line on the equity in their house because it's free to get, it's free to keep, and the best time to ask a bank for money is when you don't need it, and you don't need it right now. Now's the time to get that home equity credit line, and we always refer our clients to Howard Bank because they've assured us they don't charge a fee to get the loan, they don't charge a fee to keep the loan, and I can keep that home equity credit line outstanding. Now, I don't want you to use it. I don't want any of our listeners or our clients to use it unless you absolutely need it. But if you need it and you go to ask them for that home equity credit line when you need it, they aren't going to give it to you, and I bet $50 on that between you and I right now. And I'm serious about that.
That actually brings up a good point. So if you had a few hundred thousand in equity on it, say $250,000,
you'd go get a $200,000 home equity credit line. I have a big size home equity credit line on my house, and I would go, and you know, if I ever need it, I've got it instantly available. I don't have to wait and ask the bank for the money if I ever need it.
Huh.
All right, buddy, I got to run.
Yep. Thanks much.
All right, take care. We're going to the last caller, Don in Pasadena. How can we help you?
Hey, Drew. I'm about to retire. I'm 66, and I'm looking. I've got about $550,000 saved.
Okay.
Of course, I'm going to do the regular Social Security, and I've got two pensions going. But what I want to know is how do I figure with that $550,000, how do I figure out
how much you can withdraw each year?
Yeah, how much I can withdraw each year without hurting the principal?
Well, that's a complicated question. You know, it's not a simple answer. I mean, you know, the simple answer that's thrown out is about 4% per year you can withdraw. But the way we do that, Ron, is we use a very sophisticated software program that analyzes what are your goals and objectives, how much money do you need to live on, and then what type of portfolio has the highest probability based on past history of accomplishing the goals and objectives you have, and then we monitor that portfolio and that success probability on a 6-month to 12-month basis over and over and over and over and over as the client goes through retirement. But that's just, that's the way we do it. If you want just a simple answer, I would never draw out more than about 4% of the money, assuming you have it reasonably invested.
So what is that, $550,000?
It's about $22,000 a year, based on what you talked about.
Right.
Okay, yeah, because I'm making these days around $65,000 a year, a little bit plus.
Now, there is one other answer. The other answer is that if you could go to one of these annuity products where you can get a guaranteed withdrawal if you need more than that. But, you know, unfortunately, I'm out of time now, and I can't address it further. But if you ever want to just call us at the office, we're willing to walk you through it.
And there's a nice retirement seminar on Tuesday, November 28th. And
there you go, Tom. Get that plug in there, buddy. But, Don, I hope that's helpful to you.
It is. It's a little bit more sophisticated than what I thought it was going to be. So that's the thing.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Take care. I wish there were simple answers to these things, but each one depends on each circumstance of each client, especially when it comes to retirement distribution.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hot topic right now. Yep. But anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.